Think about the last thing you said yes to in your business. Not whether it was a good idea. I'm asking whether you can remember actually making the decision, the moment before the yes. Was there an evaluation or just a feeling? When I ask most of my clients that question, they can't point to a deciding moment because there wasn't one. Today on ADHD-ish, options versus opportunities, why your brain can't tell them apart in real time, and the filter that can. Stay with me. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you've no doubt heard me refer to options versus opportunities many times in passing. It's one of my core concepts in the ADHD-ish method and how I help my clients make better decisions in their business. Today, it finally gets its own episode and my latest thinking on the topic, plus a few surprises thrown in for shits and giggles. But first, I want to tell you what this episode is not. I'm not going to spend 30 minutes on definitions. You're smart, busy, and there's an entire blog post on my website that does exactly that. And you know what I'm going to say next. There's a link to it in the show notes. What I want to talk about today instead is something that definitions and distinctions don't address. At the moment of the ask, an option and an opportunity feel identical. So let's get to it. First, you know the drill. You've heard it from every stage, every mastermind, every entrepreneurship podcast, and every business book. Say yes to opportunity. Opportunities don't knock twice. Get in that room. You never know where it might lead. Abundance mindset, baby. And beneath that advice, there's a second message, and it's louder than the first one. If you say no, you've got a scarcity mindset. You don't want it enough. Every no is a door slammed on your own future. And if you say no, someone else with half your skill and expertise will grab it and enjoy the success that could have been yours. Now, let me be clear about something before I start taking this apart. I am not anti-yes. In fact, some of the best things in my business came from a yes that I couldn't fully justify at the time. Launching my digital clone, Die AI, is a perfect example. If I had waited until that decision made complete 100% strategic sense on paper, Die AI would not exist, and hundreds of people who tell me how much it's helping them would not be doing so. So no, I am not here to argue against saying yes. What I'm arguing with is the assumption beneath the advice. The assumption that you can tell in the moment whether it's a worthy yes or a wasted one, because you can't. Here's the thing. That advice was probably written by and for a neurotypical. A brain where, is this a fit, happens first, and this is exciting, happens later, if at all. Now, maybe you've met some of these people. Someone can make them an offer. They ask a few clarifying questions. They say, let me think about it. And here's the wild part. They actually do think about it, that is. Now, ADHD brains run that sequence backwards. The feeling comes first. It comes loud. It comes with certainty. And it arrives ready for action. The evaluation part gets there eventually. Usually somewhere around the third month of implementing the commitment you can't actually remember choosing. So let me ask the question again. And this time, I want you to answer it in your head before I move on. The last thing you said yes to in your business, the collab, the new software, the new offer you're halfway through building as we speak, can you find the deciding moment? The point where you actually weighed in on it? Or can you only find the feeling? And hey, if all you can find is the feeling, I want you to hear this loud and clear. That is not impulsivity pretending to be intuition. nor is it a flaw or a weakness. It's a sequencing problem in the machinery, and the entire say yes to everything hustle culture has been built for brains that don't have this. And can I say one more thing before we go on? Like, you're going to stop me, right? I actually find value in the concept and practice of manifestation. I do. But here's what the whole fucking abundance mindset industrial complex completely leaves out: alignment and capacity. Business owners with ADHD who follow the law of attraction gospel without discernment can manifest bankruptcy or burnout just as readily as the holy grail of a six-figure business. The universe does not screen your yeses for you. That part is your job, and we often forget to do it. So here's where we're going today. First, why this misread happens in the first place, the actual mechanics of why your brain cannot tell an option from an opportunity at the moment of the ask, and then the three disguises that options wear when they want to get past you and into your business and brain. And finally, the filter that catches them at the door before they mess things up. Let's get to it. Okay, quick brain science, because you know I love me some of that, but not too much. And I'm going to keep it light and tight, because if you're a regular here, you already know the basics. Dopamine is an anticipation chemical. This is the part most people actually get wrong. It doesn't fire when you get the reward. It fires when you want the reward. Dopamine is at its loudest before anything has actually happened. And what makes it fire the hardest? Novelty, possibility, potential, the open loop of what this might become. Now think about what an incoming ask actually is: a new invitation, a new offer, a new idea. It's pure possibility. Nothing's gone wrong yet. Or as I like to say, it is as yet unsullied by genuine experience. There's no maintenance yet. Nobody's disappointed yet. It is 100% upside because it doesn't exist yet. Now, an incoming ask might be the single most dopamine-friendly object in your entire business, so it's really hard to resist. In an ADHD brain, "this looks amazing" arrives seconds before, "does it fit with my business model, my existing commitments, and my current capacity, if at all?" And it's not even a fair fight, because the interest signal is several times louder and a whole lot sexier and enticing. There's a second mechanism stacked on top, and it's called delay discounting. ADHD brains discount future costs significantly. The costs of a yes all live in the future, though. The recurring calls, the deliverables, the tax on your attention every month the thing exists, all of that is real, but it's also invisible at the moment of decision. So what you're actually comparing in real time is a vivid, immediate spark of novelty against a blurry, deferred future reality that you can't see. All of the things you will later resent and regret do not exist in your mind when you're caught up in the excitement of possibility. Now, I don't know about you, but man, does that put a lot of my past choices in perspective. And it brings me to the thing I really want you to underline today. You might need to write it down. Hell, tattoo it on your forehead if necessary. Just make sure you can read it when you look in the mirror. Are you ready? An option feels identical to an opportunity for exactly as long as it takes to say yes. I'm going to do that again for the people in the back. An option feels identical to an opportunity for exactly as long as it takes to say yes. Now, I'm going to say it another way, because sometimes just repeating it doesn't make things clear. The difference between an option and an opportunity is real, but it's not detectable by feel at the moment of the ask. The feeling is the same. Here's the usual timeline. Day one, you're thrilled. Week two, it's on the calendar and feels a little heavier than you'd expect. Month two, it's competing with the work that actually pays you. Month four, you are resenting that thing a lot. You chose the feeling. So let me tell you about one of mine, because, you know, we're not just talking about you, right? A few years ago, I bought a high-ticket course on how to launch a high-ticket course. Yeah, you heard that right. I was at a live event, one of those events that's engineered from the name tags to the lighting to the seating for exactly one purpose: selling the course to as many people in that room as possible. High-profile marketing guru on stage, 30% discount if you buy today. A subscription to the software that you build and run your course on, all bundled right in. And as I watched at least half the room leap to their feet and take the bait, my brain did not say, that's a red flag. My brain said, I fucking need this. You want the punchline? I never built the course. I barely opened the course I bought that was going to tell me how. But I kept paying that monthly software subscription for 3 solid years before I finally admitted to myself, this is not an opportunity. It was an option. It was an option I said yes to because of a feeling. And in this example, that feeling was FOMO. So no, you're not flaky. You're not a yes machine. You're not an incurable people pleaser. Here's how I want you to think about it instead. Dopamine is a talent scout, not a bookkeeper. It signs the talent on the spot because the act is exciting. It's not dopamine's job to figure out how to pay for the tour. And at the moment of the yes, nobody else is minding the books, because that would be you, right? That is the whole problem. It's structural, not moral. You know, options don't arrive labeled. They are so much sneakier than that. And after years of watching my clients, and let's be honest, myself, get taken in, I can tell you that there are at least 3 ways that work on us almost every time. Disguise number one, the flattering ask. Someone picked you. Come on their podcast, join their mastermind, co-create their thing. You know the drill. The DM that makes you sit up a little straighter in your chair because all of a sudden, you are a big deal, as a matter of fact. Somebody with a real audience, or at least a really nice Canva template, looked around at everybody they could have asked, and they picked you. Now, for a brain that carries a lifetime of rejection sensitivity memories like ours, because if you have ADHD, being chosen doesn't register as an option. It registers as proof that you're visible, proof that it's working, proof that you're not shouting in the void, proof that you know what the fuck you're doing. And saying no doesn't feel like you're turning down an offer. It feels like you're rejecting a person who just told you, I believe in you. So the yes comes out of your mouth as a social reflex, and the evaluation never happens at all. Certainly not then. Now, I speak from experience here. The first couple of years in my business, I said yes to podcast interviews and summits simply because somebody asked. It did not matter who, whether they were aligned or not. And I want to be honest about what was actually going on, because it was not garden variety people pleasing. I was genuinely convinced at the time that all visibility is good visibility, but that is not true. It wasn't true then, and it's not true now. When you appear anywhere and everywhere in front of any audience that will have you, you're not building awareness. You're creating confusion. So here's the reframe I want you to hold on to. Flattery is information about how they see you, or maybe what they want from you. But it's not information about whether this ask fits your business and your marketing strategy. Those are 2 different questions, and the warm feeling in your chest doesn't answer either of them. Disguise number 2, the closing door. Doors close Friday. Founding member pricing ends tonight. Only 2 spots left. The scenario, It's 11 o'clock at night. The cart closes at midnight and your heart rate is telling you this is the most important decision of the year. Urgency is a massive dopamine trigger. Manufactured scarcity takes any option, no matter how mediocre, and makes it look like a now or never opportunity. And marketers damn well know this. Marketers who market to folks with ADHD really, really know this. When your audience is impulsive by nature, a countdown timer is not an innocent choice. It's a targeted decision and a targeting decision. The reframe, a real opportunity, can survive a 72-hour delay. A manufactured one is not designed to. And that countdown timer, it's not information. It's information about their manipulation of your impulsivity and FOMO. You ready for disguise number three? This one's a little sneaky. The adjacent idea. In fact, I would say it's absolutely the sneakiest, which is probably good that it's last. It doesn't even come from outside. Your own brain delivers it. The spin-off offer, the new format, the companion thing that feels like a brand expansion. And here's how it usually goes. You're 3 weeks into the hard, boring middle of something that really matters and has genuine potential. And suddenly, a new idea you've never had before seems more brilliant. I mean, it's practically glowing in the dark. But notice the timing. Novelty almost inevitably arrives, appearing like an opportunity you can't refuse at the exact moment that your current work stops producing dopamine. That's not a coincidence. That is a delivery schedule that's more reliable than Amazon Prime. And sometimes the adjacent idea actually is an opportunity, which is why this can be confusing. And I'm not going to pretend otherwise. But if it only becomes irresistible when the real work has become tedious, that's not opportunity knocking. That's an escape. Okay, friends, quick pause. If your calendar is currently full of yeses that you can't explain, commitments you liked the idea of a lot more than the reality, untangling things like this is one of the things I do with my private clients. Not just cleaning up the existing yeses, rebuilding how decisions get made in your business so you stop making messes that need to be cleaned up. There's a link to book a free consultation in the show notes. No pressure, no pitch, just a real conversation about how I can help and if we're a fit. Okay, let's get back to the episode. I bet you're good and ready for this strategic move. I mean, that's what you're here for. So let's get to it. If everything I've said so far is true, if you genuinely cannot trust the feeling at the moment of the ask, you might be tempted to swing hard in the other direction, become a no machine, auto decline everything, maybe call it good boundaries. And I need to point out that the no machine is the same non-decision in reverse. There's still no evaluation running. You've just changed your default. But there is a third setting, and that's the one I want to sell you on today. Slow to everything new. Here's the principle. Since you can't trust the feeling at the moment of the ask, and the machinery is not changing because ADHD is for life, no amount of insight, self-awareness, or listening to this podcast changes how those signals arrive in your brain. So stop trying to convince yourself that discipline is the answer to your dopamine regulation problem. Or if you can put a filter outside your head, dopamine isn't going to try to figure out a way around it. And before anyone asks, yes, this is different from the right-sizing audit in the blog post. That audit is for cleaning up the yeses you already said yes to. Today, we're talking about the front door. Actually, we're talking about putting a screen on the front door. We're talking about filtering the yeses that haven't happened yet. You actually need both. You need a strategy for cleaning up the yeses that you said yes to and probably shouldn't, and preventing yourself from making too many more of them. When the house is flooding, you got to turn off the tap. So here it is. I call it the screen door. 4 questions, and you ask them of yourself before you say yes to anything new. That's the whole concept. Slow to anything new. We're slowing things down with these 4 questions. So write them down or screenshot the show notes, because this is a game changer. Question 1. What existing goal does this serve? Existing is the operative word. A goal that is already written down, already committed to before this ass came walking in. Because here's the tell. If you catch yourself inventing a new goal to justify the ask right there in the moment, you have your answer. Opportunities fit existing goals. Options generate justifications. Question 2. What does it leverage that I've already built? Real opportunities compound something you already have. Your audience, your assets, your positioning, your body of work. Options start from zero and then bill you for the infrastructure. If saying yes means you got to build a whole new audience, learn a whole new platform, or create a whole new delivery system, you are not seizing an opportunity, my friend. You are founding an unpaid startup or beginning your business all over again. Question 3. What are the terms of this commitment? Notice I did not ask what it takes to get started. Starting is the cheap part, and it's definitely the easy part. Starting is the part your dopamine has already budgeted for and frickin' loves. I'm asking what it costs every month it exists after the dopamine wears off. The deliverables, the communication cadence, the attention task, because everything you say yes to is not a purchase, it's a subscription, and you need to read the terms before you sign on the dotted line. And lastly, question 4, does it survive 72 hours? You know, there's a reason why so many companies have a 72-hour clause where you can get out for any reason or no reason at all within 72 hours. I think the original name was the buyer's remorse clause. So when you are about to say yes to something new, will it survive 72 hours? This has to be the non-negotiable one, even if you want to negotiate the other 3 questions, because it's really the only one that doesn't rely on judgment. 72 hours is outside of your opinion. It exists in the real world. And in this case, the delay is not a formality. It's not a game you're playing with yourself. It's not a hack. The delay is the mechanism. 72 hours is roughly how long it takes for the dopamine to wear off, according to neuroscientists. So real opportunities will still be standing there knocking on your door after 3 days have passed. And they're going to look pretty much the same. Options quickly evaporate, and you will be amazed how little you actually miss them. Now, none of this works, and I mean none of it, if you answer in the same conversation as the ask. So the actual practice, the thing you need to rehearse until it feels automatic, is one sentence. When anyone asks you to collaborate with them, to appear on their thing, to say yes to whatever, 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 you say, let me check a couple of things and get back to you. That's it. That's it. Not a no, not a yes, not even a maybe, really. A pause. You're not deciding. You're deferring the decision until the right part of your brain is the one actually making it. Now, anyone who punishes you for a 72-hour delay, I believe, has just told you everything you need to know about the so-called opportunity. And I'll be honest with you, I learned the value of this delay the hard way, like most things, and also by accident. I have been spared more than once, not by my own discernment, I assure you, but by unexpected delays, family emergencies, and technical glitches that physically prevented me from acting on what I thought was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The payment page that wouldn't load, the call that got rescheduled. Life got in the way, and every single time, by the time the obstacle had cleared, the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity had really started to look quite ordinary. Those glitches saved my bacon and saved me from some very expensive lessons. Eventually, it occurred to me, I could build a glitch on purpose. That's the 72-hour rule. Now, are there genuine time-limited opportunities out there? You know there are. Things where you really, really do have to decide quickly and decisively or genuinely miss out. Yes, there are. But they're rare. What is far more common, overwhelmingly more common, is manufactured urgency. So that's the move. And next is the practice. And as always, I want you to leave spending time with me, listening to this podcast, with something you can actually implement right away in the next week. So you're going to give yourself a reasonable window of time. For most of you, that's 1 or 2 weeks at most. During that window, every new ask, every new invitation, new idea, new offer, whether it's coming from someone else or your very own brain in the shower, they get exactly one treatment. But first, the guardrail. Do not use this window to audit your existing commitments. And I mean it. Some of you heard this episode and are already drafting a list of every single yes you already regret. Stop. That is a different project, a much bigger project, and the blog post has a tool for it. Trying to do both at once is how ADHD brains end up doing neither, or worse, spinning out into overwhelm and doing nothing else for a month. This week is for incoming yeses only. And here's the deal. Nothing new gets a same-day yes. Nothing. And I have become really rigid about this. I no longer say yes to anything on the spot. And I stand by it because I've learned the hard way what saying yes too quickly has cost me in every possible way. So make an idea parking lot. It can be a digital file on your computer. Hell, it can be a notepad in your car. Just make sure you always have it handy. Every ask goes in it. And the words that come out of your mouth or your keyboard are the sentence I've already said, and I want you to rehearse. Let me get back to you after I've had a chance to think it over. Then, and by the way, you're going to need to put something in your calendar so that 72 hours doesn't become 72 days. Then, at the 72-hour mark, you ask yourself the four questions. Existing goal, existing leverage, terms, and is it still standing after 72 hours have passed? And when I say ask, I mean every ask. The collab DM, the app your business bestie swears is changing her life, the new offer idea you got in the shower and just can't wait to act on, the quick call to pick your brain, the Black Friday in August to cart close. All of it goes to the parking lot. No exceptions. Because the moment you start making exceptions, your dopamine will happily volunteer to decide what qualifies and you'll be right back where you started. Just 1 week. The parking lot, the rehearsed pause sentence, and then the four questions after 72 hours. And by the way, all outcomes are data. Some asks are going to die in the parking lot quietly without you lifting a finger. And that's not a loss. That's the filter working. Do not mourn them. Some asks will survive, and you'll say a real yes, an actual decision that you can feel good about, one you can point to later and say, I chose that, and start to notice how different that feels. Some of you are going to notice something else, how physically uncomfortable that 72-hour wait is. The itch, the restlessness, the fear that it will evaporate if you don't grab it right now. The urge to just answer now because holding the door open feels worse than just walking through it. If that's you, congratulations. That discomfort is the most useful data in the whole experiment. If you want a mantra for the week, here it is. Every yes is not a purchase. It's a subscription. Read the terms before you sign. Write it on a post-it. Stick it wherever asks are when they come in. And let's be honest, it's most likely your phone. Okay, that's a wrap on options versus opportunities. The blog post with the companion audit for the yeses you already said is in the show notes. And remember, you don't have to figure all this kind of stuff out on your own. Committing to the right opportunities and building the decision architecture that protects them is just one of the things I focus on inside the ADHD-ish method with my one-on-one clients. The link to book a free consultation is in the show notes. And until next time, friends, take care of your brain. It's the only one you've got, and both you and your business really need it.